Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing me with free samples. I don't know about where you live, but here in Columbus, allergy season has started back up again. I feel like I can usually muster through. However, allergies can turn a peaceful night's sleep into a battle of tossing and turning for me. Sleep is something that I highly prioritize, and nasal congestion, sneezing fits, and itchy eyes can disrupt my ability to one, fall asleep, and two, to stay asleep, leaving me fatigued in the morning, which is not great with three kids. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. Like I said, I used to muster through, but as I've gotten older, my allergies have gotten worse. And Claritin D has been a life changer when it comes to my day-to-day. Like I said, sleep is so important to me, and that's usually where I notice my allergies the most, laying down on my back and not being able to breathe. Thank goodness for Claritin D. So are you ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away, and you can find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms podcast. Join me today as I bring you the third episode in the new series, Decluttering Room by Room. I've asked five women to join me in tackling various areas in our home, and we'll chat about how to keep each space minimal and most efficient for our families. In this episode, friend of the podcast, Erin Port of Simple Purposeful Living will take us through decluttering our bathroom. She provides tips and steps for decluttering the bathroom, including dividing the task into smaller portions and being ruthless in what you keep. But before we get there, I quickly want to share a minimalist resource with you. So I'm assuming this is one that you've probably seen if you've been on social media at all in the past couple of weeks, but I want to share the book Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. The entire point of the book is Jonathan making the case against devices for children, even if they desperately want them. Jonathan convincingly argues that children lack the necessary emotional and physiological resilience to navigate the complexities of social media, and instead advocates for prioritizing outdoor play and social interaction among peers. I myself have been listening to the audiobook through Audible. So far, I found this book incredibly enlightening, just heavily researched, and I'm continuing to put it out into everyone within my circle. So again, I'm sure you've heard of this book, but I couldn't not mention it here. The book is Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt. And with that, let's get into this next episode of the Room by Room series with Erin Port. Erin, thank you so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm glad that we could finally connect. You're here today to talk about decluttering the bathroom for the Room by Room series. So before we get into your tips on how to do that, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and we'll get started.
Well, I'm Erin, and as you said, I run Simple Purposeful Living, where it's my mission to simplify busy moms' lives, because we all know that moms have never been more overwhelmed. But I firmly believe that a tweak here and there can make a world of difference. No overhaul required. I am a mom of four. We live in a small town in central Iowa, and I've been married to my husband 17 years. My background is in education. And I would say that kind of is a summation.
Yeah, absolutely. So what prompted your journey into minimalism? When did you start to value simplicity?
My mom would say that I've probably always had an air of minimalism. I used to sleep on top of my duvet cover as a kid because I loved a made bed. But I would say the more children I had, the more I sought simplicity. I think there's a tipping point as a mom. I always was a DIYer, not in the home space, but in the life space. Like, I wanted to do it all myself. And I think the more children we had, the more I realized, like, I had to let something go. I used to be a perfectionist. I'm a recovering perfectionist. Some is better than none. And I really have this aha of our homes are a tool. They should be utilized as such. They should function to help us and encourage us and nurture us, and they shouldn't be a hindrance to that. And so the more simplistic, the more purposeful I can make our home, the better our lives will hum along. So that was a huge aha for me.
Yes, absolutely. All right, well, let's take that
simplicity and purpose into the bathroom, what does it look like for you? Or maybe what has it looked like for you to declutter your bathroom? Take us through the steps.
Okay, so there's a couple of ways. Obviously, I'm sure you've had many guests talk about the same thing. You can take everything out and then, or you can divide it up. And I think sometimes if you're feeling super overwhelmed by a space like the bathroom, even dividing it out into smaller portions, like, okay, I'm going to do my bathroom drawers today, and then I'm going to do my bathroom cabinets, and then I'm going to do my linen closet, and then setting a timer for about 20 minutes, you'd be surprised how much you can get accomplished. I love actually decluttering the bathroom first when you're thinking about decluttering, because the least amount of sentimental items are in the bathroom. It's pretty cut and dry. Do I use this? Do I not use this? Is it expired? Is it not expired? Does it belong in here? Does it not belong in here? So it's one of those places you can definitely get started. But I would say be ruthless in what you are keeping in your bathroom. The minute we start to have to justify an item, like, well, someday I might use this, or maybe I need this for this, the minute you start justifying, that should cause a trigger in our mind that it's probably not something that belongs there. If you're using it regularly, there's no justification required. Like, I'm using my foundation, I'm using my mascara, but am I using the peptides that I thought I'd use to enhance my younger, youthful skin? No. Now, here's what I do when I'm starting to think like, oh, am I justifying it? Is I will put it out on my counter, because a visual reminder is going to help us to actually utilize something. So full disclosure, I bought some lotion that was pretty expensive. It's one of the reasons we keep things, because we spend good money on it. I put it on my counter, and guess what? I still didn't use the darn thing, which meant it didn't belong in my bathroom. And so I got rid of it. But if you're feeling like, oh, maybe I'd use this if I only saw it, put it on your counter for a couple of weeks. If you still don't grab for it, it needs to go.
Yes, absolutely. Skincare is one of those things for me as well, because you're just trying the different things, like what works best for my skin. And it is a little bit of trial and error, but it's like, okay, should I just use this up because I've invested? Or it's like, well, that wasn't great for my skin, I'm going to use this thing. You've already spent the money. You gained knowledge from trying that product and it no longer works for you. So just move on. Certain ways, I think that the overthinking that we do sometimes that keeps us stuck, which I do want to ask you about things that keep us stuck, but there's a value of our time and our mental capacity that I also think is worth, maybe not financial. It's not a cost in that sense, but it does cost us clarity and maybe efficiency. So what are other areas that you see people being stuck, specifically in the bathroom?
I would say another one is a fear of needing the item later. Like, I think that keeps us stuck in a lot of places. But I always tell people, like, if it's easily replaceable, you could borrow it for somebody, letting it go. Like, the chances of you using your skin brush, if you've never skin brushed your body before, is probably not great. Can you go back and buy it on Amazon should you decide to take that up? Absolutely. We've been conditioned, especially as women, that we are frivolous spenders. And so when we get something and we spend the money on it and then we realize we don't use it, it kind of feeds into that lie of like, we're spending frivolously. Well, we all make choices. Like you said, we sometimes have to try it and it doesn't work for us. And like you said, that's a learning lesson. And then we can take that knowledge and move forward. So I would say if you have a fear of needing the item later, again, that's a justification. We can let it go. You could also put it in a purgatory bin. I call this the declutter bin. Sometimes this is helpful for family members who feel like, oh, I might want it someday. Put it in a bin, out of sight, out of mind, 6 months, even 3 months. If you don't touch those items, move them on. You don't need them. But again, just getting them out of your regular everyday areas is helpful, because that is clutter that's taking up space. And like you said, time and efficiency from helping us see the things we actually need.
Yes, absolutely. So I didn't prompt you for this question, but I know there are listeners that are like, my bathroom's good. I have addressed that, but I don't know how to deal with my kids' bathroom because there are many of them. I have a hard time keeping it clean. They have all these bath toys. Any thoughts with all of that?
That's a great question. I would say, what is required? Again, if we think of our home as a tool, our bathroom is a tool. It's functioning to help us get ready, prepare, go out into the world. So what are things that are actually needed in the bathroom? It's actually a lot less than we think. And then creating boundaries and living within your boundaries. I think this is huge. not only for us, but teaching our kids. I say it all the time, but we're not just raising kids, we're raising future adults. So when it comes to bath toys, having a basket, this is the basket. And when the basket gets full, we need to make some choices about thinning it out and keeping it within the boundary. Kids thrive on boundaries. We thrive on boundaries. And learning to live within them is really important. And then also just making the things that they need accessible to them. So, you know, like keeping their toothpaste and toothbrush right where they need them. And also keeping them where it makes the most sense. So let me give you an example. I actually keep my deodorant in my bathroom or in my bedroom closet, not in my bathroom, because I'm getting dressed in my closet. So that makes the most sense. So also thinking outside the box, like, do you need the toothpaste and the toothbrush for your kids in their bathroom? Or does it make the most sense to put it down by the kitchen sink because they're actually brushing their teeth right before they leave the house and it makes more sense to put it there? So thinking outside the box sometimes is really helpful as well when we're decluttering and using our spaces the most effectively for us.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I love that you have your deodorant in your closet. I have an extra one in my car because I'll have left my home and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I forgot that. It's always nice. I also have a toothbrush and toothpaste in my car. I always like to be prepared.
Yes, fresh breath and fresh pits.
Yeah, I'm okay with having multiples of those. That's for sure.
Okay.
So I'm glad that you addressed that because I know that's something that we actually haven't spoken to about children's bathrooms. And I think the thing for me with the bath toys, I've gone in waves of you don't need anything to, okay, this is kind of cute. And this seems like it's not going to mold. I think it's the products that mold or the toys that mold that you're just like, why did I have someone spend money on this for a Christmas gift? Or why did I invest this money to only throw it away?
Well, and I got this advice years ago, even with beach toys, right? Where you don't have to buy a beach set or a bath toy set, like a plastic cup that might not be suitable for your kitchen. Like, okay, I got this disposable cup at a Big 12 basketball game. Okay, that ends up being a really fun toy for the kids in the bathroom, right? And it didn't cost me any money. When we're done with it, we can recycle it. It's the same with the beach toys. Because one time I went to the beach, I had all these beach toys, a bunch of kids came along and they all disappeared. So ever since then, I just take yogurt cups and leftover things. And then we just recycle whatever we need to get rid of when we're done. And it's a great reuse, recycle kind of thing too.
That's a great idea. I have been asking everyone in the series, what have you done with the items that you purge? The one thing that I have to say here with medications, if people are storing medications, I think there are restrictions on how to dispose of these things. So maybe Google that or take them to, I think our fire department has allowed people to go drop off medications that are expired there. So maybe look into that. Don't just flush things down the toilet or down the sink. But what are your other ideas for what to do with things that we purge in the bathroom?
Absolutely. So yes, for medications, even your local pharmacy, I know Walgreens and CVS, they have a controlled box where you can pop in your leftovers safely and they'll dispose of them. So I think that's a great option, especially when it comes to bathroom materials. This gets a lot of people because they've spent good money on it. They just don't want to throw them in the trash. But for obvious reasons, donating used product is not people just don't want that. So if it's not used, not tampered with, brand new, like if you go to we have electric toothbrushes at our house, but our dentist will give us a toothbrush every time we go. So instead of just putting them in the bathroom and adding to the clutter, I take them to our local food pantry because they can use those. They'll put them in the little food boxes. Those are great options. Any of those little travel sizes that you get from when you go to the hairstylist or the dentist or anything, I take those and I dispose of them by giving them to the food pantry. I think that's great. Unfortunately, for things that are used, you can do a couple of things. You can post a picture of them and send it to a group text and be like, hey, this didn't work for my skin. Would this work for somebody else's skin in my friend group? That would be a great option. Or at the end of the day, if it is clutter and you are feeling overwhelmed, like letting it go and just throwing it away, honestly, for peace of mind, getting it out, we can shame ourselves for years by keeping this stuff and making ourselves feel bad. Again, we didn't know. We learned a lesson and now we can move it on.
I had Emily from Really Very Crunchy on a few weeks ago and she had said, know better, do better. So I think because a lot of us want to be more sustainable, or I know I have a lot of people that will get on me about not being sustainable when it comes to getting the things out. But sometimes it's like, I know better now. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to acquire. I'm going to keep it out of the landfill in the future. I just have to do what's best for my family now. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. And you shouldn't feel any shame or guilt. Just make different choices moving forward.
Are you committed to eating clean, especially when it comes to your protein powder? With Puri's PW1 whey protein powder, you can trust that you're getting the purest ingredients without harmful chemicals or toxins. Over the last few years, I've been more interested in cleaning up our environment, cleaning up the foods that we're eating, especially with the food that I'm giving to my children. My 4-year-old is the pickiest eater, and it's difficult to get him to eat a lot of protein. So I love that I can throw Puri's protein powder into his smoothies or pancakes. Puri is third-party tested against over 200 contaminants. It's free from hormones, GMOs, pesticides, soy, and gluten, delivering 21 grams of protein per serving. Plus, like I said, it tastes delicious, even for the pickiest of eaters. So don't just take my word for it. With Puri, you can find the actual data behind every batch, which makes Puri a supplement brand that you can trust. And right now, Puri is offering my listeners 20% off their PW1 whey protein and all their great products. So go to my exclusive URL, puri.com/minimalist, and use my promo code minimalist. This even applies to the already discounted subscriptions, so you'll get almost a third off the price. Go to puri.com/minimalist and don't wait. Use promo code minimalist at puri.com/minimalist. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, both big and small. Unfortunately, there isn't a how-to guide for every circumstance, so when things aren't working out, it's normal to feel stuck. I understand this firsthand, and that's where BetterHelp comes into play. Since having children, I found it to be more difficult to schedule therapy appointments, but when I discovered BetterHelp, I was thrilled. I didn't have to worry about setting up a sitter or rushing to an appointment at odd times throughout the week. After visiting the website, I simply had to fill out a survey of what I was looking for, and I was connected with a list of counselors that would be best suited for me. As a personal testimony for how much I love BetterHelp, I was able to overcome some struggles I'd had for years. So if you've struggled with trying to find the right therapist or someone to talk to in regards to mental health, I highly recommend BetterHelp. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Again, it's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited for your schedule. So take a moment, visit BetterHelp.com. Visit BetterHelp.com/minimalist today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/minimalist.
So I just want to know a little bit more about you, what your personal bathroom looks like. Is this a bathroom you share with your husband?
Yes. So we share a bathroom, and I would say, okay, so I have a couple of tips for like how our bathroom functions really well. Number one, we have 3 bathrooms in our house. So we have one upstairs for 2 of our kids, ours, and then one in the basement. And each bathroom has its own color towel, which is awesome because A, I know who's showering and who's not by how many towels I wash every week. But also anybody that's doing the laundry can easily put away the towels because each bathroom has its own towel. So navy blue upstairs, gray in our bathroom, cream in the basement. And it just makes it super simple on purpose. The other thing is, like I said, don't buy things or keep things just because the experts say we need them. So point in case, I don't use washcloths. I don't know. Some people love them. We just don't use them around here. We use loofahs and other things. So I don't keep, I have a couple for guests, like 2, in case a guest wants a washcloth, but we don't use them. So don't feel obligated to keep things because we're supposed to. If it's not working for you, it's okay. Let it go. And then also less is more. So I actually only have 4 towels in my kids' bathrooms. And here's my trick with that is we do laundry twice a week. So it's forcing them to bring their laundry up and actually wash it. The more stuff we have actually allows them a longer runway. And so I would say less is more sometimes for those sorts of things. And then I also keep my cleaning supplies in my bathroom. I know, I think you've seen you do this too. If I can make it any simpler to do like a quick spray down when I'm getting ready in the morning and then just wipe it down my counter, I tell you what, it's so easy. So I just have bathroom cleaner, a like universal cleaner for the windows and the mirrors and the countertops with a roll of paper towels. Boom, done. And yes, I use paper towels in my bathroom, but here's why. Bathroom gets really dirty, grungy, gross, and so it's just really easy. And honestly, I don't go through that many paper towels, maybe a couple a week, and then I can just, it can move it on. I wipe down my toilet. I don't know. I'm good with throwing that away. But again, I'm taking up less space with less towels. So I figure like a few towels here and there. And like I said, I use kitchen towels that I reuse in my kitchen. But the bathroom, I have boys and young ladies. I'm going to kick all those germs to the curb.
And I don't really want to. And I'm sure my friend Tracy, she's really good at cleaning washing things and dishwashers. But I don't really want those chemicals. See, I use chemical-y cleaner in my bathroom. I'm good down in my kitchen. I try to keep it like crunchy down there. But in my bathroom, I'm like, I really want to get rid of these germs. So I don't want to throw the towels in my laundry. And so then what? I'm wasting water doing a load of these towels that I have from only these chemical-y things. So yeah, I think it works best to just use paper towels as well. I think this is one thing we didn't mention, and then you can go into your final tip, but the bathroom is one thing that I think is sometimes hard to keep up on, just the dirt and the grime, especially in the shower. And I think when people go into their bathroom to declutter, that they're like, oh, I have to clean it too. But I would say get everything out so you see what you're working with before you go on and do that deep clean. I don't know. What is your thought there?
Yeah, I would say the same. Like decluttering, organizing, and cleaning to me are three separate things, and they don't all have to be done simultaneously. I think sometimes when we lump all three of those together, we get super overwhelmed, right? Like I always say don't organize until you declutter, because you don't want to be organizing extra clutter. And then cleaning, for me, the way I clean my bathroom most of the time, like especially when my kids were young, if they were in the bathtub, I'd be right there and I'd just be, you know, cleaning the countertop or whatever. And now my kids are showering age. Most of them can shower and bathe themselves. So while I'm getting ready in the morning, it's like a 5 minute while I'm in the shower. I'm just cleaning the shower while I'm in the shower, right? And then while I'm getting ready, I just wipe down the countertops and the mirrors. And honestly, a couple of times doing that a week, it really keeps the overwhelm of cleaning at bay.
Yes, absolutely. All right. I feel like I cut you off there. Did you have anything else you wanted to share on what your family does with the bathroom space?
Oh, one other thing I think that's really important, and I know you've covered this with other people, but slowing the inflow. I think when you start to declutter, you realize how much stuff you have and it helps you to be content. And then it also helps us to be more mindful about what we're bringing in. So I think this is especially helpful because we see like social media influencers. I'm easily influenced, right? Like I can see things that I need, quote unquote. But I will step back and I'll say, do I need it right now? Is that an immediate need? So point in case, I was seeing some fun new makeup online and I was like, oh, I think I'd really like that. But I was like, do I need it right now? Do I need to pull the trigger right now? No, I don't need any makeup. I'm fully stocked on my makeup. So I can wait. I can wait and I can keep that as a mental note for when I do need it. Because what often happens is, we buy something when we already have something that is working for us because we want to try it and we want to try the new thing. But just waiting and allowing that inflow to slow a little bit will help us to not have to declutter so much. And that's been really helpful to me. Plus, then you can make a better decision like, do I need this? Actually, no, I'm satisfied with what I have and it's working.
So I think that you gave me a lot of information that last time around I did not get for the bathroom. So I'm so happy that you are here to join me today. Where can listeners find you and connect with you online if they want to hear more?
Sure. You can find me at Simple Purposeful Living, simplepurposefulliving.com. And we also have a podcast called the Simple Purposeful Living Podcast on all podcast providers.
Perfect. Well, Erin, before we wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you the two questions that I ask every guest. And the first one is, what has been a beneficial resource in your life, maybe even in your minimalist pursuits that you want to share with the listener?
Oh, I would say seeking out people on the internet that have the same mentality as you. I think when we're striving to accomplish something, having accountability, seeing what others are doing and being inspired, not comparing, but being inspired really helps motivate me to continue to pursue this lifestyle.
Yes, absolutely. And get rid of people that do make you feel like it's not good enough or that, because that's not the purpose of social media. You want to feel inspired. So get rid of those accounts that make you feel that way.
Exactly. Yes. I think that's so important.
Yes. All right. Well, my last question is, what is something you can't stop talking about?
All right. So we've been talking a lot about this over at Simple Purposeful Living about simplifying the laundry routine. And one of the things that I've stopped doing is folding my kids' clothes. And it's kind of created a bit of a backlash online. But I'm telling you what, it's given the permission slip to a lot of moms. Two things that I've done is I've stopped folding my kids' clothes and I started washing my people's clothes by person. So every person has a hamper. I put that hamper in the washer, no sorting, put it in the dryer, put it back in the hamper, and then they put it away, no folding. And I'm telling you what, with a family of six, it has been a game changer for us. And it's given, like I said, a lot of moms the permission slip to simplify the laundry routine.
I think I saw that controversy. Was it a reel of you in your living room with many?
Yes.
I did see that. Yeah. I'm lucky to have a washer dryer right outside my bedroom door. And honestly, we just exist out of those three laundry baskets for my kids. I don't know. For some reason, I'm just like, go to your laundry basket, pick something out. I haven't decided on what dressers I want in our new house because they didn't have them at our old house. So I'm just like, we'll just make do with this. It's what works for us. And you said that you don't fold their clothes, and that's what the controversy was.
Yes, yes, yes. I was told I was a sloppy housekeeper. But you know what? I mean, here's the thing. It was funny. I told my 12-year-old, we were talking about this at dinner last night, and she goes, but mom, it's not your responsibility to fold our clothes. And I had a little like proud mom moment that they understand. Like they have accepted ownership of like, this is part of the way it can help around the house. And I said it in the podcast earlier, but we're not just raising kids. We're raising future adults. And when they leave my house someday, I want them to be productive members of society that know how to do their own laundry and know how to cook and know how to clean. And that's our jobs as parents, is to help them learn those skills. And it can not only lighten our load now, but also help them into the future. And having that right perspective is really helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people that are doing good work always get pushed back somehow. So keep doing what you're doing. I do the same thing. I think it's just what works in this season. But Erin, I do appreciate your help going through this bathroom space. Thank you for all your tips and thank you for joining me today.
Well, thanks for having me. I had a blast and I was rethinking my bathroom and how well it can work for us. Remember, your home works for you, and simplifying and minimizing just makes it streamlined and more efficient.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.